PTF here for a second. Spencer Lugenbuehl is going to be guest hosting this week. I will be back later to talk about Naira, but I did want to remind everybody that this is a great time to sign up for our In the Money Plus service. Get coverage for the rest of Keeneland, extra shows, special written content on Saturdays, and you're going to get all of our Breeders' Cup stuff as well. You're not going to want to miss it. We gave out a lot of winners last year, expecting more of same, extra podcasts, extra written content, and I recommend that you check it out. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. Sign up today. Get the rest of Keeneland and all the way through the Breeders' Cup. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus.
Coming up on this week's episode of the In the Money Players podcast, I am not PTF. I am Spencer Lugenbuehl, guest hosting for the man, the myth, the legend. And some guests we have coming on for today, we have Scotty McKeever of Equine Edge coming in to talk the late pick five for Keeneland. We have Drew Cotney of In the Money talking the late pick four with a bonus best bet from Woodbine. Klaus Ebner talking Japan in a couple of races from the Woodbine Stakes on Sunday. And last but not least, if PTF can't host it, he's still going to be on the show. He's talking about Naira with me going over the pick six for Saturday.
Folks, it's not too late to sign up for Keeneland's contest action this weekend. You got the Fall Challenge on Sunday. That's a $400 game. And there's also the BCBC NHC Fall Handicapping Challenge. That's the big one, $3,500 on Saturday. You can still sign up by reaching out to Jim Goodman. Probably the easiest way to get all this information is to visit our pretty link in themoneypodcast.com/Keeneland. Get the links to those, figure out on the big event. You can play online. I'm not sure about the Sunday event, honestly, but click on those links. You'll be able to figure that out for yourself. And if you're looking to be at Keeneland, you know, they have limited attendance. You're going to want to buy tickets in advance. Go to Keeneland.com to get all of that information.
And now I'd like to welcome in my first guest for this In the Money Media Players podcast. He is a man who I've had on Red Board Rewind. He is someone who I have enjoyed using his Equine Edge technology for horse racing. It's Scotty McKeever. Scotty, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Spencer. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Glad to have you back on one of the In the Money Media shows and super excited to talk this late pick five at Keeneland. What have you noticed so far from just playing Keeneland in the short time that they've been open so far?
You can't really come from too far back, you know, either on the turf course or on the dirt. Especially on the dirt, you've got to be somewhat close in the races. So speed has been holding a lot.
Let's jump right into this first race. It's race number six from Keeneland, a maiden special weight, 84,000 is the purse, 1 and 1/60 miles on the turf course. What'd you like in here, Scotty?
Well, I'm going to use two horses. The four horse Curbstone is a horse I'm going to use. I'm hoping this horse can rate some. They added blinkers last time out on Curbstone, and Santana Jr. jumps aboard as well. So, you know, it's 16% of our numbers. It's a top Scotty pick algorithm. It's 4-1 on our Equine Edge morning line. So, you know, it looks like it really improved second time out. And I think you're going to see a better effort here. Went off at 14-1 last time out for Brendan Walsh. I like Curbstone. Bickel is a horse I kind of like a little bit. The six horse has a really good genetic strength rating. I think the workouts have been sneaky good, and I think that horse might run a decent race. So I'm going to go Bickel. So those two horses, 4 and 6.
I think for me, just to go over Curbstone real quick, he'll be a B for me. I just don't like Santana so much on the turf anymore. For me, he's much more of a dirt jock, and seeing Louis jump off, I just think there's a little bit of a difference there. 14-1 last time out, like you said. And sometimes second time blinkers, people always see blinkers on in the PPs, but it's never second time blinkers. That can sometimes be a nice, interesting angle. I'm with you with Bickel. I think that this one, Byron 50%, 2-year-old first time starters. I just think the family in general, first time starting 2-year-olds on the turf, 3 for 15 is what Kelsey Danner has been so far with a positive ROI. He's a half to old time hockey who made $450,000 on the turf. I just feel like this one as a first time starter will be definitely interesting. That'll be my top pick. Faith Runner, the number 10 so far. I just like the improvements. First time turf, faced out next time out winner. This is one I'm going to have to use as well. And the number 11, Wicked Genius, will be my lone B. 13% turf route for Wicked Strong, which is in par with his dirt numbers as a sire. I just think that's a little bit interesting. The family is 0 for 18 turf route, but the last time out, first time turf, just missed by a length at 17-1. This is one I'm definitely going to have to use as well.
This is a very, very tough race. I mean, this opening for the pick five is really tough. I mean, there are a lot of horses in here you could use. So we haven't seen the scratches yet, obviously. So, you know, that'll you know, kind of clear things up a little bit. But this one deserves a look. The 12 horse Freedom's Way, those aren't bad workouts. This horse is bred for turf for Eddie Keneally as well. You could use Freedom's Way. Heir to Greatness, who's going to be the 13, hopefully gets in there. That one for Albert Staal, that's a first-time starter. You know, Curbstone, second-time blinkers is the thing I use. That wasn't a particularly strong race the horse ran in, but you've got a lightly raced horse. So, and I agree with you with Santana on the turf. But it was in a wide-open race. I mean, you can't use them all, and so I went with those horses. But if you've got the money to do it, definitely spread. And hopefully we'll be able to clear things up in some of the other legs, and maybe you can use more horses in the first leg.
Let's move on to race number 7. It's another maiden special weight. This time we're going on the dirt, 1/16. What are you liking here, Scott?
Well, Big City, first of all, there's really no pace in this race, right? Mm-hmm. So make sure you judge it from that perspective. I'm looking at our new pace number that we have that we'll be launching soon. And it's a really good number. And it's saying that this race is wide open. So, you know, look at that. Look at horses maybe that are far back and know that they're going to be closer to the pace. Big City Mama, the one horse, is a horse I'm looking at. That's and I considered singling this horse, but it looks like a wide open race, but on paper anyways. But this is maybe the type of race you would take a chance on. And if you were Big City Mama, the one horse, Sovereign Appeal, the two horse, has been right there as well. And burned a little bit of money, but dueled last time out. This one could find itself on the lead and go gate to wire. I like the 1 and 2 best, Big City Mama and Sovereign Appeal. But if you used all the horses in there but the 4-horse Rocket On Board, who I think is the only horse that can't compete in here, you'd probably be, you know, you're going to win the race.
I think just overall, in this being one of the shorter fields of the sequence, you kind of have to get narrow. If you're going 4 or 5 deep, then you're 4 or 5 deep pretty much in every leg, and your ticket's going to be astronomical. I am going to single the number 2, Sovereign Appeal. When I just look over, and like you said, there is no pace in the race. Adam Bacheza knows how to get on the rocket and do well on the front end. And this one, second last time out and dueled. Sometimes when you see that PP line and they come back next time out, they just seem to end up just hanging on and just pushing away all the other speeds.
You know, the other one too, Spencer, is this Street Missy, the 5-horse. It's actually the Scotty Algorithm's long shot. And this one's been far back, but there's not that much pace in here. So this one will be closer to the pace and has been facing much, much better horses. So on the drop here, it doesn't look like a drop, but when you look at it from our figures, mm-hmm. this horse is getting much easier here. So I wouldn't leave out Street Missy, the 5. So I'm going to probably cover those 3 horses.
Let's move on to race number 8. It's one of the biggest races of the day. It's the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, 1 1/8 miles on the turf. Kind of hard to stay away from the Chads. What do you like in here, Scotty? God.
Well, Chad Brown and Flavian Pratt are 39% jockey trainer combination. The Equinedge Morning Line's 4-1. It's Scotty's second pick. Empress Josephine, the 4 horse, is probably the horse I'm gonna key in on, because this one's been off since October. But Aiden O'Brien, John Velasquez, they do very well together. And this one in the First Lady over at Keeneland just came back and run a heck of a race. And I think this is an easier competition than what this horse has been facing. So Empress Josephine is the horse to beat for sure.
I think when you just look overall in this race, and I always hear it from my friends, you know, if you're going to play one Chad Brown, you got to play them all. I'm going to try and beat technical analysis. I think that the last 2 races being at Saratoga, I'm going to try and play. Maybe the form isn't improving. Maybe it was also just liking the Saratoga course. I'm all about Flavian Pratt with Chad Brown. I think Flavian Pratt, everyone says Irad's number 1 jockey in the country. I think it's Flavian. And I think that, like you said, 39%, nothing to miss there, has improved every single race since coming over. And also can run everywhere. Belmont, Arlington, Monmouth, overseas, obviously. This is one I'm definitely going to be using. Empress Josephine. Everyone knows Aiden O'Brien and me are not best friends. I just think that when he comes over the pond, he just doesn't win. This one ran 3rd last time out, missed by a length, 11-1. I'll kind of take those odds because after he won the Breeders' Cup race, obviously finishing in the top three, I think that if you're going to take longer shot prices with his horses, that is one way to go. One last one for me, the number 10 closing remarks, Umberto Rispoli for Carly Gaines. Just another one slowly improving. Two low 90 buyers out of the last four races. Obviously improved second time out off the layoff. We all know how good third time off the layoff is, and I feel like with this one and having Umberto on there, we always talk about on the turf that maybe those two are the top two jockeys on that surface. Definitely one that I want to include as well.
And closing remarks had traffic in that last race in the Del Mar Oaks over at Del Mar and got a and really closed nicely and had a ton of traffic and lost to a good horse too. So I think closing remarks is a big player in here. I would agree. Shantisara, of course, that you talked about, the Irish spread, Chad Brown, Flavian Pratt. This one barely won against a much easier group of horses. So I wasn't sure what the class level is for this horse, but fourth time in this country. And I wouldn't be surprised by that one. This is a really this card is tremendous at Keeneland on Saturday. So, but yeah, in the Queen Elizabeth here, I'm going to say Empress Josephine's the horse to beat. I think I would agree with you. I would always play against Aiden O'Brien horses coming here, but he's been doing better of late with these shippers. So we'll see what happens there. Another horse maybe to look at is the Scotty Longshot Algorithm's Queen Goddess, because this horse actually a much easier group, allowance group, but broke through the gate prior to start and still managed to win that race with a really tough trip. So I don't know if Queen Goddess is this good, but you're going to get a price.
Let's move on to the next race, that being race number 9. It's an N1X allowance, 1 mile. What are we looking here, Scotty?
You know, I don't know. Is Ducali the type of horse that, you know, stretching out for the first time? That was a good group of horses. On our strength of race figure, this is a much easier group. Dual last time out from the inside. You know, the horse is rated before going 7/8, two races back breaking his maiden. But, you know, I don't know what to think about this horse stretching out. Will this horse relax? You know, I'm not sure. 6-5 on the Equinedge morning line, 38% to win, top Scotty pick. As far as our algorithm goes, Winterpool, the 4 horse. I mean, this one won easily last time out, only has 5 lifetime races, been in the money in 4 of them. There seems to be some upside there. Chad Brown, Jose Ortiz. So, of course, they're tough as well. What's their jockey trainer combination? Let's see here. They're 24%. You know, not as good with Flavian Pratt, who's 39% with Chad Brown. But a lot of people are probably going to single Ducali. Probably. I'm not so sure. You know, I will say this preliminarily. I've used the 1, 2, 4, 5, 9, 10. I've eliminated the 3, 6, 7, and 8. So that's where I'm at right there on there. Ducali, I'm not sure about. I have to look at it a little bit more in depth. Another horse maybe to look at is Malibu Star, the 1. This one got a second place finish last time out, getting a little bit tougher, but has been off a little bit of a layoff. And Kelly Bream is good with these types of horses, John Velasquez. So that horse might run decent.
If you had to break them down by A's and B's, what would you break them down as right now?
Ducali for sure, and Winterpool. So it would be 5 and 4 for sure would be my A's. And then Malibu Star would be a B, and then I would go down to the 2, 9, 10.
For me, I feel just Winterpool, Ducali. Like we had said, we don't know off the stretch out what's exactly going to happen with Ducali. I want to take that shot. I think Brad, obviously, we know how good they are. I think there was a stat that was dropped on Twitter a couple of days ago where 41% of the grade ones have been won by 4 trainers, one of them including Brad Cox. So obviously Brad knows how to get a horse ready to stretch out and also just, you know, become a better horse. I like Florent jumping on. I think he's a very underrated, aggressive jockey that, you know, sometimes does make the wrong move, but I'd rather have an aggressive jockey than a non-aggressive jockey. Winterpool for Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz. Back-to-back 91s, obviously those being in the starter races. This is the one where I would almost want to rather just play Ducali and then go to Winterpool as a B, but I'm going to use them both as A's. Back-to-back 91s. Hopefully we'll see another improvement or a step forward in this race as well.
Yeah, you know, it's tough when you've got these lightly raced horses. If they're – I mean, this horse has been right there in every start except its first one, and when you see horses like this that are improving like this, you just don't know what the upside is, and so you want to catch them on the way up. And Winterpool is kind of in that mold. So Ducali, if Ducali falters, probably Winterpool is the horse to beat. But I don't think this is that tough of a race or strong of a race. But that's why I was maybe going to spread out with maybe not singling Ducali. But I don't. The horse to beat for sure is Ducali, no doubt about it.
Let's move on to race number 10. It's an N2X allowance, 5.5 on the turf. What are we like in this closing leg, Scotty?
I told you this. Spencer, this race, look at, you know, Chili Petten is the four horse, probably the horse to beat. The three horse, Ghosting Kim, this one isn't bad. I mean, you could see this horse running well here, the three. I've used the 1, 3, 5, 11, 12. I don't have any here. I really don't. I think, I will say this, the 12 horse, Sarah C, if this horse can get a good trip, I don't love the 12 hole, but this one has some speed. Cutting back, showing speed going longer in a grade three race. That was a much, much tougher field than here. And then cutting back here, this horse can rate, be on the lead, do anything. So Sarah C in a wide open race for Wayne Lucas, David Cohen's aboard. This one could surprise. Social Chatter, the it maybe is a horse to use as well.
I think just piggybacking off of you for Social Chatter, just the fact the opening race, you know, the debut race was a 79 buyer for this one. I just kind of feel, you know, now coming back, they go in the slop, doesn't go well. Now we have a 71 and a 77. Maybe this one's now cycling back into form. Maybe we can see a new top come out. If there is a new top, this one fits in really, really well with this group as well. Chili Petten for me. We all know Wesley Ward and what Johnny B do together. This one obviously went to the Albany across the pond, came back, won an optional 50, then went into a stake and then another, and then won an allowance or ran second in allowance. I just, Chili Petten for me, Social Chatter, those are the two. You said you had a bunch of Bs. Can you narrow any down to an A?
No. I think this race is that tough. I will say this, the front, the Social Chatter, if I was going to pick one horse in here to bet, it would be Social Chatter as my top play. I think the horse is very fast. The horse can rate as well. The three horse, Ghosting Kim, I think this one can run good too. Might get the pace as well. And getting that extra, cutting back from six furlongs. It wasn't a great trip last time out, and they went slow up front. So I think this one's going to have to come from behind. But at 8-1 on the morning line, I think 12-1 on our morning line. But James Graham jumps aboard. I think Ghosting Kim, but I probably the one horse, Social Chatter.
A lot of differing opinions for me and you. Let's hope we can cash a ticket. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and good luck to you this weekend.
All right, yeah, good luck to you as well and everybody out there. It's these are opportunities. They're tough. You have to narrow them down. You have to look at the scratches and just see what happens. But I like these tough cards. And if you're right about the decisions you make, you just have to have some conviction. You find a horse or two that you like and have some conviction. If it wins, great. If it doesn't, you move on to the next one.
Can't agree with you more. Thanks so much, Scotty.
All right, thanks, Spencer.
Join the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation on October 21st for a horse show like no other. Gather your friends and family at 8 p.m. Eastern for a live stream to see, hear, and feel the profound impact that the retired racehorses of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation have made on countless lives through the TRF Second Chances Program at the Lowell Correctional Institution in Ocala, Florida. Visit trfinc.org for more information. And if you're here in Lexington, come join me. I'll be hosting a viewing party at Mirror Twin. We'll be gathering at 6:30 over there. $10 suggested donation, but I'll make up most of that because I'll buy you a beer if you come up and tell me you heard about it on the show. So you're going to want to come join us there and go to trfinc.org for more information.
And now I'd like to welcome in my second guest for this In the Money Players podcast. It is none other than Drew Cotney of In the Money Media. Drew, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you? It's been a long time we've been on the airwaves together.
It has. It's been too long for that. Glad when he was like, oh, you're going to have Drew on. I'm like, fantastic. I haven't talked to Drew in like, I don't know, half a year, 6 months.
I think we may be over that. But yeah, no, it's good to see you. I didn't get to make it up to Saratoga this year. So was bummed that we didn't have Bloody Marys at the Brentwood together.
Oh, I mean, that was the kiss of death for me when Pete's like, hey, do you want to come on the Brentwood show? I'm like, I guess so. And he's like, Bloody Marys? I'm like, just the Pilsner for me.
There you go.
We're going to talk the late pick four for Woodbine, but you actually have a best bet in the race prior to that. So kind of give us your rundown here on Woodbine race six, a just maiden claiming 40,000, 5.5 on the synthetic.
Yeah, I mean, this pick five sequence is unbelievable. And I think you'll be able to get paid because it just doesn't feel like a lot of the logicals are going to win. I'm going to go with, in this race here, an outside runner, the number 12, Demi Gorgon, which I think last time stalked that pace a little too closely and made, I love seeing these young horses just bring themselves into the race, going wide around turns, only to come up short. And this horse is massive too. You just see physically how tall this horse is compared to some of the other runners. And was just, again, too hot to that pace. The eventual winner came from way off of it. And getting the Lasix added, I think, should be able to help with the foundation that's second off. And I think it's significant, too. Now Rafael Hernandez shows back up and gets on this horse. Moran got the debut call, Hernandez being the better jockey. Love the wide trip because I think this horse is going to just relish in that and has some good feelings to this one. So I'm going to go with that runner, the number 12, Demi Gorgon, at 6-1. A couple others I had to use were the number 6, Olympic Fencer, ran a decent enough debut, catching the gate pretty good on the way out, kind of brushing against it, and then had to rush up to the lead pack around the turn, and then stalled out a bit as the loose leader had an easy go of it. So addition of Lasix, extra furlong to run into, might be able to help there as well. And then number 10, Loaded Vixen. Everyone will see all those ones in the running lines and the cutback here and think this speedster will get loose. I'm actually against this runner here. So I just think Loaded Vixen's a trap play and I'm going to be fading. So I'm big on the 12 and the number 6, Olympic Fencer, in this race here.
Let us move on to race number 7. It is a maiden special. 126,000 is the purse. 1 mile on the turf course. What would you like in this one, Drew?
Yeah, and before the Twitter people start adding me, race 6, the number 6, is going to a half furlong more, not a full furlong. So apologies for my speech there. Race 7 here, there is a little rain forecasted. And Jeff Bratt was on the show last weekend talking with us and said, hey, the inner turf course is built more recently, has better drainage. The outer, not as good, a little older. E.P. Taylor may get rained off, is likely the first one to go if rain does come. So just keep an eye on that. This one is scheduled for the outer, so just a bit more vulnerable in terms of being rained off. Okay, so to the picks after that. I'm going with the bomb, the 20-1 number 4, Ambartica. And there's a heck of a story we can weave. And I love these type of events where you can tell a story to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that debut closing into the slow fractions and still earning a 60 buyer, really significant to me, especially at the sprint distances. So disadvantageous to try and close in those sprint distances, let alone into the slow fractions we're seeing on Timeform US. Last out tried stretching out, but was forced off the turf and didn't run a stretch. So I think there's reason to believe today that we can build off that foundation that was set on that debut of 60 buyer. And second, there's some inside runners that look like they're going to hook up and collapse. I have my value line at 6-1. I'm licking my chops at 20-1. A couple others I'll be using are the number 1, Stylish Jet. Might just get loose, so I'm not holding that one and saying there's going to be an absolute pace collapse. I'll use a little bit on side. Number 6, Lament. I mean, Cassie Stein stays aboard, which is a bit surprising considering that pretty bad ride last out. And so I'll be giving them another try if Cassie still has confidence in Stein on that runner. And then the number 9, Rapper Zapper, same story as mostly above, way too wide earlier. So by above, I mean the number 6, Lament, the horse I just discussed. So I'm going with the 4 and the 1 as A's and backups as the 6 and the 9 on this one.
We're almost pretty much the same in this kind of race. I agree with you with Lament. That's going to be my top pick in the race. 57 last time out for Stein. Stein to me has always been one of the underrated jockeys. When you look at Woodbine, you think of a couple other guys above him. I like that Cassie sticks with him here. Obviously, Cassie, 2-year-olds, 16%, always been a good turf trainer as well, and 21% with a positive ROI, having Stein in the irons. Always nice to see when they do jump back aboard. Ready for the lady on the outside for Roger Atfield. Just the fact that after the really, really nice run, quote-unquote, got the fast pace, he was a little bit farther back in the debut, and then right into the summer. And, you know, obviously that's a big jump up for a horse like this, 47-1. The improvement, this one for me is going to be the other A, just because I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
On this one, so I'm going to use that as well. You talked about Rapper Zapper. Him and Danielson are pretty much just the same type of horse to me. I'm using them both as backups. Blinkers on for Danielson coming back. Both of these horses improved second time out as well.
Yeah, and one thing to comment on the number 10 Ready for the Lady, that summer stakes with Al Bahir and Grafton Street. Al Bahir is a great, great horse and ran a great, great race in there, shipping in. So I kind of put an asterisk next to that because, to your point, hey, look, pretty strong buyer ran, was a million to one in that day, and one was bet to a reasonable price, ran reasonably well. And again, I think we could all tell ourselves a story. And I may be using this one as you talk about number 10 Ready for the Lady at 4-1 is, hey, it got washed off on debut. That's not where the horse wanted to be. Horse ran into some monsters in the summer stakes and now drops back into a reasonable company level. And oh, by the way, has a heck of a bullet workout last out as well. So I think I might be using that horse as we just talked live about it here.
Let's go on to race number 8, a maiden special weight mile and an eighth on the synth. What are we liking this one, Drew?
You started because I can go a million directions. I'll just leave it at that.
For me in this one, I'm using the outside horse, the 9 City Legend, just like the last time out, was on the fast pace. Obviously, those type of horses always fade in the end, and it was at this distance as well. Has slowly been improving for Barbara Minshall. I think the fact for me, this one went off at 10-1 last time and showed speed. But the key factor for me is that Ulrey has raced at the distance once before. I'm only going to use one other in this race, number 1, MoonQuest for Mark Cassie. I mean, they went to the turf last time out, didn't run as well. The first two races, a 62 and a 66 on the synth, seemed just pretty fine for me. First time gelding as well. I think those are the only two you have to use.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to look at this race and go, wow, September 18th is going to be really key to understanding how this whole race is going to unfold. And I do think the number 3, Bolu, and the other speedster in here as well are going to hook up again. And I think we're going to see, and City Legend, your horse, are going to see the exact same thing. I'm a firm believer that we're going to see a horse coming from off the pace, either a stalking rail trip or really far back in a wide trip. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to stick with the number 6, Master McGrath. I think this horse at 5-1 was a little puzzling. And if you want to go back and watch a funny replay, track announcer Geller gets a little confused at the top of the stretch. Perplexed. He wasn't confused. He understood everything. Was perplexed. Because there were runners, and I'm not exaggerating, making the turn as they were crossing the wire. That's how different the ability levels of that maiden event was. So Riptide Rock obviously comes back and does great things in some stakes races this year at Woodbine. And Master McGrath was off of that pace and ran into it, and that pace held together extremely well. All the top 3 were in the top 3 rankings at the first call and the second call. So, right, I'm going to give Master McGrath a little bit of a bump up there. And I think this horse is going to be able to stalk. Kimura stays aboard, gets a freshening, some strong works, right? The whole rigmarole, 3-year-old, plenty of upside left. So without belaboring that point, number 6, Master McGrath, I think is a sneaky one if you really dissect and understand. The number 5, Maritime Mission, again, another great replay. We were able to grasp onto. Two back got stuck on the rail. I have a hunch there was an instruction that said, if you give up the rail, I'll never put you on another horse again. And Stein's conviction just stayed up on that rail, got into a duel and complete pace collapse. And then last out, I think we could give an excuse because we just couldn't find running room late. And so I think this one could find some really, if gets lucky, could be stalking those two speeds that are going to get out of the lead, as we mentioned before. And then lastly, I'm going to use defensively Enchant Me. Last out through a complete clunker, just too many hiccups, getting checked farther and farther back. Needs to find that clear running room, and as a grinder, one style type. But I like that Contreras is getting aboard to pilot this one for a bit more clean of a trip. The value line's at 8-1. I'm not betting this horse at 9-2, but is interesting. So with my dissertation over on a maiden 9-furlong event here, I'm on the 6, 5, and 2. Hard leans on the 6 and the 5.
I think it's go over with Maritime Mission as well. Did improve very nice next time out as well. Did get the fast pace being a little bit farther back, but nice to see that you have, you know, this one can either go out in front or can also close from the back as well. Let's move on to race number 9, a maiden claiming 25,000 to 23,000, 5.5 on the synth. What are we liking here?
Yeah, I'm down to two horses, and it's funny that if you like the speed and fade types that are getting a cutback, this is your race, because I think there's like a handful of them in here. And I'm going with the number 8, Chancel at 4-1, ran 2 decent efforts over the all-weather surface, one of which was tending to a hot pace off a pretty long layoff. And the 2 turf tries were lackluster, so we'll excuse those. And we're hoping this horse waits back up, getting back onto the synthetic, the all-weather. Value line stands at 4-1 for me. I think we're going to see that price. The other horse I'm going to be using is number 2, Red Maple. I think this might be the best speed and fade type we saw and be better suited for the 5 furlongs we're going to get here today. So I'm on those 2 runners, the 8 and the 2. I said 5 furlongs. I meant 5.5 furlongs. So just a smidge of a cutback off of the 6 that number 2 Red Maple had been running before.
I'm on you with Chancel as well. Just the fact that I think people, you know, they look at those last couple of races. And for me, I'm someone who works bottom up compared to top to down when looking at the PPs. And I feel like people will just see this horse hasn't run well in the last 2 and instantly, you know, digress and toss out for the beginning type of handicapper. You really have to look at what surfaces they're running well on. This one, you know, 57-36. I guess the 1-2 back kind of fits in with the 62 and 61, but obviously I think we know which surface this one wants to be on, and we'll be excited to see. 4th time off the layoff. We all know about her 3rd time off the layoff. Now we're getting kind of into a form cycle with this one. I think a 62 might be able to get it done. One that I'm going to actually put on top here, and it's a little out there. Pass the pudding, please. Just the race is 2 and 3 back. The 61 with Jay Scott on now gets Fukumoto on, who I have a lot of respect for. This one has been racing at this level for a long time, but I just wonder if, you know, this one had showed a little bit of speed in that race and has a very fast time form figure at the 5.5. I just wonder if this one can't be a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this is good ticket structure conversation as well, not to dwell on it too much, but if we're going to play a pick 5 or a pick 4, I believe there's value in using the all button in race 8 and race 9, because they're just so hard to distinguish, and I don't think we're going to see clear standout favorites. So just from a conservation of capital standpoint, I would not bash anyone for using a weighted all in 8 and 9 with our leans pressed up 1 or 2 more times just to try and score out, because they're just so tough. I mean, all the things you've said I've agreed with and want to be using in some degree, but sometimes it's just simpler. Look where your strong opinions are, race 6, 7, and 10, which we'll talk about here in a second. Strong opinions, make sure we're covering our 8 and 9 where our weak opinions are if we're going to play in those horizontal pools.
Move on to race number 10 from Woodbine. It is an allowance race going 1 and 1/16 miles on the inner. What do we like in this one, Drew, to count us out?
Yeah, I'm on the number 10 English Conqueror. I think it's just going to be tactical on the speed, be close up to it. Yeah, 2 turns gets me a little worried about a longer grinder style. Has ran well as a 3-year-old over the inner already. And so I don't love doing this where you're looking for a closer tactical horse going on the inner, but I think I'm going to side with English Conqueror because I think the class and the buyers earned overall will get this job done for the favorite in this race, the number 10 English Conqueror. The other horse, though, I will be using is My Sea Cottage, which paints a nice picture, especially for a horse coming from Ireland with Gary Barber as well with the owner. Makes me think, I wonder what his sea cottage looks like wherever his vacation houses likely reside. But I think the number 8, My Sea Cottage, makes a lot of sense for Cassie as well. Last out was stuck in that merry-go-round pace with some really nice horses, and 2 back off. The long break made that first move into the hot pace and couldn't fend off any late runners. So I'm on the 10 with a backup of the 8 in this race.
For me, it's all about English Conqueror for me. I mean, the last 2 races in the grade 1 and grade 3, obviously the grade 1 forced by 11, but that buyer figure sure does stand out. And then the Singspiel, the 90. I just think this one is improving at the right time and obviously probably likes to go a little bit longer, but I'm willing to take a shot here on this one to close out. I think that sometimes as well, like, people try to, you know, get off that 80% single on the ticket that everyone's going to have, aka Gamine, Pharaoh, all those types. And sometimes you just need to find the right other single to have as well in this race, like you had with the 12 earlier on for the pick five. I have one single, and then I'm too deep in all the rest of the legs. It's going to be a super skinny ticket for me. I'll probably punch this one 4 or 5 times. If I do that and I'm still right about the single, to me, I'm still making money.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't be confused as well with the 11 legs back finishing fourth to a horse named Walton Street, who 3 back ran against Mishriff and some other very classy horses overseas. So, you know, if you're a class type of handicapper, don't overlook number 10, English Conqueror's abilities. Corelli as well was running some great races. Desert Encounter. I mean, the list goes on with the amazing ability of this horse. But then you look back at the three-year-old campaign, though, and I'll say this in hushed tones, some of the other runners in here have already beaten this horse. So it makes you wonder, like, what happened along the training campaign that made this one able to jump up. I think this horse will run a good race, but there's some question marks, and I'm curious to see how much this horse gets bet, because if you start to see below even money, I think in horizontals we play it, but in the win pools, I think we may stay away. So value sits at like 3-2, we'll say, roughly speaking, but what a perplexing horse that I think is going to be a great addition of this race to watch.
Super excited to see how this single ends up for me and for you as well. That's all the time we have for you, Drew, today. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. See you, Spencer.
Speaking of contests, want to remind folks about Naira's contest schedule. $300 live bankroll events coming up the next 3 Saturdays, the 16th, 23rd, and 30th. This is a great way to cut your teeth in live bankroll play, great way to win and play along the way, especially maybe if you're thinking of competing in an event like the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. For more information, go to NairaBets.com and click on their contest tab. That URL once again, NairaBets.com.
And now for my next guest on the show, I want to welcome back someone who I never thought I'd see on this show again, but if it's not me on the show, it's got to be him, Klaus Ebner. Klaus, how are you today?
Good, Spencer. How are you?
Good, hanging in there. Glad to have you back on the show. I know we haven't talked in quite a while. Excited to talk about some racing over in Japan and also at Woodbine. Kind of just give me the rundown. What's going on with Japan racing right now?
Yeah, so we really kind of restarted the fall and winter season now. So kind of, the back half of the season where, this is kind of just like the Breeders' Cup in the U.S. or the bigger races in the U.S. where, championships are determined. So this is exactly what's happening now in Japan. So last week we had, or 2 weeks ago rather, we had the Sprinter Stakes. This week we're going to have the last jewel of the Phillies Triple Crown, and we'll see the unicorn, as they call it. Everyone calls her Sodashi, the bright white filly that everyone's kind of fallen in love with, not only in Japan but also around the world. So, she is the headliner, if you will, on the card on Saturday. It's going to be tough to see her lose that race on Saturday. She prepped in a grade two against older horses. She actually beat Love's Only You. That's going to be a form reference for us in North America as well, because Love's Only You actually is going to go to the Philly Mare Turf to next start. So, again, we'll see how good she really is on Saturday, but I think she's the real deal and she'll be tough to beat.
With Sodashi, is this kind of almost Rachel and Zenyatta territory for how much people love the horse?
Yeah, and the fact that she's bright white, right? That's just the sort of thing. It just sparks the imagination. I was talking to Pete about that before, and just everyone in Japan is going crazy about her. Merchandise everywhere you can see. It's rare. You're seeing stuff on eBay selling for hundreds of dollars in terms of her little figurines and other little things. So yeah, it's Sodashi Mania in Japan, that's for sure.
We got to get the USA on the plushie train, because I see those all the time. And I'm like, why do we not have this? I mean, we need to get someone, even like for the bigger horses, even the ones that have retired. Like, I can't imagine people wouldn't want to own their own plushie collection of Pharaoh and Zenyatta and Rachel and all those horses. I think it's just a great idea that I think we're just not doing right now, and Japan's doing it the right way.
So Spencer, I think if you and I have some cash reserved, let's look at that together, and we'll get into the plushy horse business together.
Yeah, absolutely. About 2 races now for Woodbine on Sunday. We have the EP Grade 1 Taylor and the Grade 2 Neartic.
Yeah, so the EP Taylor before, at least in the past, you sort of had the 3 races of Neartic EP Taylor and the Canadian International. Mm-hmm. But now we've kind of switched around just a little bit with COVID. So we tried things out with having the International on the same day as the Woodbine Mile. We do now have the EP Taylor running kind of on its own as a unique event. The card has not been drawn yet, so I think it hasn't been drawn yet. We're going to wait and see who we have in the field. But usually, you know, it's going to be a stellar card on the weekend, some good turf racing. And an interesting note on the undercard is with the Grade 2 in the Arctic is the fact that Town Cruise, you know, he was the shock winner of the Woodbine Mile. The Connections originally said, okay, we're going to ship him to Del Mar. We're going to take our chances against the big boys. But they've kind of had a change of heart. The horse is still, you know, tearing down the barn, so they're going to take a chance of running it back in the 6 furlong in the Arctic now. So, some familiar faces there, and one that will probably be the favorite in that race.
Super excited to look at that car when it's finally drawn. I think PTF and Andrew are going to be doing a special Sunday show as well to go over some of those races as well. Klaus, thank you so much for coming on, talking with me some Japan and Woodbine racing as always.
Not a problem, Spencer. Have a great day.
Folks, it's not too late to sign up for Keeneland's contest action this weekend. You got the Fall Challenge on Sunday. That's a $400 game. And there's also the BCBC NHC Fall Handicapping Challenge. That's the big one, $3,500 on Saturday. You can still sign up by reaching out to Jim Goodman. Probably the easiest way to get all this information is to visit our pretty link in themoneypodcast.com/Keeneland. Get the links to those, figure out on the big event. You can play online. I'm not sure about the Sunday event, honestly, but click on those links. You'll be able to figure that out for yourself. And if you're looking to be at Keeneland, you know, they have limited attendance. You're going to want to buy tickets in advance. Go to Keeneland.com to get all of that information.
And now I'd like to welcome in my final guest for the show. Of course, he had to make an appearance even after having me guest host. It is PTF El Presidente. How are you today, Pete?
I'm doing very well, Spencer. Thank you for sitting in the chair. I hear you're doing a great job, and it's nice. I'm on the road. We're going to call this new location the Borman Lair in Lexington. Far from the Brooklyn Bunker, but a place after my own heart. Anywhere that has four screens showing racing, I feel very at home.
It's funny because I was like, he must be at an OTB, but I'm like, I wonder where he has. Of course, it would be Sean Vorman. He's got the four screens. How has it been in Lexington? I'm sure you're looking forward to all the good racing we're going to see this weekend.
Got in last night. We got some fun stuff coming up for the TRF. Folks will hear about it elsewhere in the show, but going to be hosting this watch party next week at Mirror Twin on Thursday night. Can also be getting to do a VIP tour of the Second Chances facility in Blackburn, not too far from here. Looking forward to those things. And then we've got an event too next Friday with our pals at TaylorMade. And of course, the contest. We got all manner of degenerates from all over the country descending on Keeneland this weekend. It's going to be a fun time. But you know, one of my eyes at least is going to be on the Belmont simulcast feed at all times.
Always has to be. Let's try and find some winners for this pick six sequence for this Saturday at Belmont Park. We're going to start race number 5, a state bred M1X allowance, 7 furlongs on the Widener turf. What'd you like in this race, Pete?
I made Highway Queen my top pick, and a lot of it came down to race design for me. I think that she's going to be in a terrific spot. Second flight, no further back than mid-pack. And based on the late kick she's shown, I think she's going to have a chance to go by them all. And I always like giving extra credit to Joel Rosario mounts when it's a situation where I think he can prove to be on the best closer. That's the case with Highway Queen. I did want a couple of backups. I was going to use the 7, Write This Down, as a potential likely improver. Third start off the layoff here. And that was a tricky trip last time, I thought, being wide throughout. And then one other I was going to use as a backup was the 9, Uncle Jem. Strong numbers overall and a potential candidate to be the best speed in this spot. I think there's a chance the speed's going to come back to them, but if it doesn't, Uncle Jem is the one I think has the best chance of hanging on of those front-end runners. So that's how I see it. I was going to make the 5 and A and play the 7 and 9 as backups. Where were you here?
I mean, we got to stop doing shows together because I am actually 5-9 as A's. I'll start off real quick with Uncle Jem. Just IRAD, Linda. We always know what Linda's bread and butter is. It's always going to be these type of 7 furlongs, 5.5 races. And just the last two races off the maiden win, they've been 3 straight 70s. But I think at this point, I'm going to see a little bit of improvement more than a regression out of this one. And then we talked already Highway Queen. Joel on the turf, I think everyone knows when we talk trends just in any type of gambling atmosphere, Rosario is always going to be a bump up for me and for a lot. Steve Claseris, 11% on the year, but just nice two improvement. since the maiden win and the claim, 69-74. That was with Santana, who, unlike others, I'm not a fan of on the turf, goes to Johnny, now gets Joel. I think it's been a steady improvement on the jockey side as well.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Did you have any backups you were going to mention too, or you were just going to get through with those two ways?
No backups. Just to let's move on to race number six from Belmont Park. It is the Grade Two Sands Point, 1 1/8 miles on the inner turf this time. What are we going with in here, Pete?
I went back and forth in this race. I ultimately put the two Jordan's Leo on top. Another one where race design comes into play, I think, is going to get a good trip, maybe on the front, maybe just off. And I think Jordan's Leo still has room for upside late season in just the third turf start. But the one that I considered putting on top based on the trip, I ultimately didn't, because I was concerned that this distance might be a little sharp for Harajuku. But rewatching that trip, I backed last time and was a little bit like, you know, in the aftermath, I wouldn't have said, oh, that horse is definitely a bet back. But watching the trip, it was pretty tricky at a couple of different points, a little bit far back. That pace really got pretty mellow in the middle of the race. And looking back at PPs, she did win on debut going seven. So maybe she'll be able to handle this mile and an eighth now in the care of Graham Motion. Another one I wanted for trip reasons was the number 8 hour Flash Drive. Just got way too back against an even gallop in the Pebbles. I think she can do better with a more positive ride. Maybe can be up there with Jordan's Leo. So I'm hoping either the race holds together and we can get the two or the eight in there, or that the three, Harajuku, will prove the best closer and come flying late. I had the two and the three as A's with the eight as a B in the featured race of the day. Where were you?
For me, Harajuku is one. Again, this filly, Ryan Moore, I know we've talked, I've been anti-Aiden O'Brien, but now I wonder if I'm almost anti-Ryan Moore at this point, and I feel like getting the trainer switched now to Graham, and also having Junior, who I think is still the most underrated rider when it comes to turf routes. We talked about how well Joel is turf sprinting. I think this one, that last race, we talked about the trouble. I think coming out of this race, we know how good Graham is, first time North America as well. The only other one I really needed in here was going to be the five, which is Higher Truth for Chad Brown. I just don't want to get beat by Chad Brown. That's how it is. You know, we talk about it all the time. If there's five Chad Browns in a race, I have one friend who literally will just play all five Chads, but then he gets beat by the fourth. He just can't have, he figures out a way to make his tickets nice and cheap, but always has to include most of the Chads.
A mental health play, we call that. And I get you. I went back and forth about putting Higher Truth as a B. I eventually decided, perhaps foolishly, that it might be a little sharp for Higher Truth, but probably a good include as a B at the very least, because the horse just fits on figures and form, and you do have, you're in very hot hands with Chad Brown at the moment.
Let's move on to race number seven from Belmont Park. It is the 30,000 N2L claimer, non-winners to life, 6.5 on the dirt. What are we liking this one, Pete?
I like Hoopla, the two, getting back to the best surface, and I thought a pretty good chance to prove the best speed in a race without a whole lot of pace signed on. I did want to include a couple others as backups. The six, Cousin Andrew, I thought was a good candidate for the slight cutback today and taking the blinkers off. Might find more in the lane this time around after looking a bit punchless last time. The four, American Gentleman, was another I wanted to throw in there. Hasn't raced for a tag since that maiden claiming win and has the pace figures to be involved in the outset, again, in a race where I don't see a lot of speed. So I think it could hold together and you could see the two or the four get the job done. I was going to use them all as I look at it again, I think I want to, I don't want to, it's more the kind of thing where I'll use two, six, and four as A's, and then I will press Hoopla a little bit. I do want some separation, but I also don't necessarily want to have a lone A in the spot. I think it's open enough. So for listing purposes, list them all as A's, and you can make a note. I'm going to press the two a little bit.
Got that. For me, Cousin Andrew, Manny Franco, Peter Walder, just the race two back, the maiden win, I have coming back as okay with the show horse. He jumped up to actually maiden 40s and actually won an off-the-turf event. The next race coming out, fast pace, fades a little bit. The buyers are pretty much on top of each other. I hate when I see people say, oh, the 72-70 declined. He dropped 2 points. It's pretty much the same exact buyer. Blinkers now coming off. I think this one maybe now gets a little bit of a sitting trip, fourth or fifth, and can make that final run. Second for me, Litterbox, Eric Cancel. Not having the best meet so far, but we know how good Eric is heating up toward the later part of the year as well with Gary Siaka, who's also been off to a slow meet. These optional 16s, I just feel have this horse going in the right direction, 52 to a 60 to a 70. I think a small jump up in class. This one can also show the grit here to get this job done. Let's move on to race number eight. Claiming 30,000 into well, 1 1/160 miles on the inner turf. What do we like in this one, Pete?
I put the 6 Freedom Machine as my top pick. This horse has shown some hard trying ability. Doesn't give up easily, has tactical speed, has an aggressive pilot in Saez, and I think on the drop could move up significantly. So I definitely want to have plenty of sixes on the tickets. At a price, another that I am going to leave in as an A is the 4 Cherokee Song. This one fits on the best bits of form. One of these horses who breaks poorly every time probably will break poorly again. But there is always the chance that she gets away with a little bit more alacrity and could move up off that. But at any case, on the finishing ability she's shown, I'm going to leave her in the mix. And then Gabby Squared. This one was more of a backup for me. I'll use the 6 and the 4 as A's. We'll make Gabby Squared a B. Won well at Monmouth coming off the shelf. That was not a fast pace. I'm hoping that's why that figure was maybe a little bit depressed. There could be another move forward for Gabby Squared. I've got the 6 and 4 as A's and the 7 as a B in race number 8.
I'm kind of the same way with you. Freedom Machine for me will be my top pick. Just the fact coming out of those allowance races, I feel that this one off the drop, always dangerous. And I think, you know, 4 seconds, 2/3, maybe a second IS type, but when you get someone like Louis in the irons, I just feel like this one is always meant for the W. Also, we have for me Adele Cat for Jimmy Ryerson, broke the maiden, now comes into the claiming 40,000 into well, ran fine. Now we get a small drop. I just think this one, since, you know, switching back and forth from the turf, I think this one's in proper form right now. And Cherokee Song, like you had also talked about, broke the maiden a while back under Benji and now comes in off a couple of starter allowances and now goes into the claiming ranks. That was off the turf. Looking for this one to make a little bit of a jump back. I'm not the biggest Luzzy fan, but he always seems to come a knocking with one long shot winner every single time.
Or at least every single meet. Yeah, I get it. I think it sounds, so far, it sounds like a day where we're going to win or lose together.
So on to race number 9, State Bred N1X Allowance, 6.5 on the dirt. What are we going for in here, Pete?
I'm going with a horse that I think should be a bit of a price on top, the 8 Mosienko. Excuses for the last two runs. Very wide last time, wrong surface, 2 back. Fits well off the race, 3 back. Should be a big price, and that's why I ended up reaching for this one on top. The 1 Quantitative Breezen is another A. Chance to be the best speed. Bunch of numbers good enough. I don't have anything clever to say about the horse. I just think she makes sense. And then another I'll use is the 7, Mia Be A Star. Ran well for New Connections off the trainer switch, and I think can contend with this bunch. Again, at what I hope will be a solid price. I just had questions about a bunch of the horses I think are going to be towards the very tippity top of the market here. And I might spread around with all 3 of those as A's, honestly. 8-1-7.
8-1-7 for Pete. I'm going to add the 1 as a B. I just don't want to get beat by this type of horse. Obviously, the last two races kind of came out of quote-unquote nowhere. Now it goes into the Jeffrey Englehart barn. We know how good the Englehearts are on dirt sprint. This one is not so good off the claim with a less than dollar ROI. So I'm going to use this one as a B. Also, Dylan Davis, as we talk about in the Redboard Rewind this week, with me and Matt Vakvolgi, one of the most underrated jockeys right now, I think, on the Naira circuit. I am going to go with number 4, Cinderella's Claws on top. Always not a big Chad Summers fan, but I feel just going in the right direction, 3 straight improving races. Obviously got rained off the turf last time and showed a very, very good number. Benji Hernandez, I think, will help with the price a little bit here, going with Cinderella's Cause on top.
Yeah, I looked long and hard at Cinderella's Cause, and I tend to discount those off the turf races, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if she runs to the number, gonna be in the mix.
If you don't know it's Naira, you will know it now. The final race of this pick 6 is a State Bred maiden 40,000 maiden claimer on the wide near 7 furlongs on the turf. What do we like in here, Pete, in this wide open affair?
I went with the 5 Lemon Taffy, another one of these runners I thought looked like a good candidate for the turn back and distance. And I thought the work tab for this runner looked notable as one that might be ready to break through at this point in the career. The 7, Escape with Friends. This is another one of these habitual slow breakers, but has flashed some ability. I like her chances to make an impact. Another whose chance would increase if the chronic breaking issues could be in the rear view. No idea if that will happen, but Escape with Friends has shown enough for me. The 6, Incontrovertible. Had a tricky trip off the break on the wrong surface. Another one shown enough potential in the past, especially in the turf debut, that I want to keep her on side in this spot. Going to hit all these late picks. 5, 7, and 6.
5, 7, and 6 for Pete. I'm going a little bit towards the outside with Phenomenal Woman. We just talked about Dylan Davis, Christophe Clément. This one dropping out of the maiden special weight ranks. It's just for me, Clément's so good off a long layoff. He's great maiden special weight to main claiming surf. Definitely a trendy type of pick here for me. And also New York Dancer going right back to the well with Eric Cancel. I thought the race first time out, 56. If you go by me and go as a James Quinn learner, we should see about 8-10 points of improvement. That puts him right, or puts her right in the mix.
I don't mind either of those as backups for the record for me. I looked at both long and hard, and I like your angles on each one.
That is all the time we have today on the In the Money Players podcast. Almost said Red Board Rewind. Got to get goes straight. But thank you so much, Pete, for coming on. Happy to be a guest host and, you know, do it live as well and in color and in person.
Good stuff, my friend. PTF one more time. Want to remind folks that next Thursday, October 21st, the final table of Horse Player Happy Hour will have 10 players left. And then there were 10, and one of them will win a $10,000 Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seat. We'll probably do it like we did this week. It'll probably be a live stream from 3 to 5. We want you to join that live stream, ask questions, meet the competitors. It's going to be a lot of fun. And pretty darn sure we're going to be able to be running one more $189 BCBC qualifier on the same set of races so you can win your way in while you watch us do our thing at the final table. Going to be a lot of fun. And best of all, the entire house cut on that $189, it goes to our aftercare charities, Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So you're supporting a great cause and having some fun along the way, sending a message to our great friends at the Breeders' Cup that players appreciate these kind of initiatives and greatly increasing the chance that we can do Horse Player Happy Hour again next year as well. To sign up for that game, it'll probably go live latest Tuesday next week, but horseplayers.com is the place to go and check it out. If you're following me on social media, I'll send out the link there. But just keep it in mind for next Thursday, our fourth and final midweek BCBC qualifier and the final table all happening at the same time. The URL to remember, horseplayers.com.
I want to thank you, all the wonderful listeners and the special guests for coming on this week's episode of the In the Money Players podcast. I want to thank Scotty McKeever from Equine Edge, Drew Coatney, PTF, Klaus Ebner, all for coming on and giving their great insight. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's president is Pierre Thomas Fornatel. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. Our In the Money Media business manager is Drew Coatney. I'm Spencer Lugenbuehl, and we will see you next time.